Hey guys, I'm Eric McLean.
And I'm Kelly Gramlich. It's time to talk some ACC sports.
Let's go!
Happy Tuesday, everyone, and welcome into the Gramlich and McLean podcast brought to you by Traeger Grills. Eric McLean, I can't believe it. It is the last week of the regular season on the women's side in the ACC, and the second to last week of the regular season on the men's side. Where has basketball season gone?
It is flying by, Kelly Gramlich. And I tell you what, it's just every time I look up, something's crazy happening, and then it just makes things go even faster. And it's the week that we just had in college basketball was nuts. But before we dive into that and really break it down, I want to tell you guys about our great friends over at Traeger Grills. And as always, Traeger is cooking up something amazing, y'all. This week, they're launching their new Apple Watch Traeger app. It is unbelievable. You now have the ability to control your Traeger grill right on your wrist. You don't have to pull your phone out. You don't have to walk over to the grill. You can continue what you're doing, adjust the temperature, see how far along you are with your grill, what you're grilling and cooking. On the app, you will now be able to control your grill temp, check the meat probes to see where you are on the cook process, even activate the keep warm mode. So if you're out on a hike, Kelly, if you're out doing something far away and you can't get back to your grill in, 20, 30 minutes, you just hit that little keep warm button right there on your Apple Watch. Absolute game changer. If you have an Apple Watch, I highly encourage all of y'all, go download the app, just check it out, because it adds to the endless possibilities on the Traeger, making it even easier to use. Kelly, I was cooking, so I kind of got a little sneak peek of this. I was cooking this Saturday and making an awesome brisket, by the way. It was so good.
It looked great.
And I was just looking on my watch, trying to find something while I was in the house before I went out there, and I see this little icon. I'm like, yo, what is this? And then, of course, Monday morning, I see this big reveal that Traeger Grills does that's saying, we have this new app. It's great. I was like, y'all, I was 2 days ahead of you. I already figured it all out. So, guys, do yourself a favor. Find your local Traeger dealer today by visiting TraegerGrills.com/ACC. Once you've browsed around the site and you've selected the pellet grill of your dreams, use our code ACC Sports for free shipping on your entire order. Kelly, I kind of did a mock-up of that, by the way, of just to see what that would save. If you order the grill that I have, which is the Big Hoss, the 885 Ironwood, that saves you about $200 for shipping.
Wow.
So it's a good deal, guys, I promise.
That is incredible, Mac, to save that kind of money on your shipping. I was actually talking with our good friend and friend of the pod, Luke Hancock. We're sending him some sunshine because he was a guest of the pod. And he said, I'm redoing my deck in the spring, and I'm getting myself a Traeger.
Yeah, that's right.
And I said, and I felt like such a company woman, but I said, Luke, use our code, get free shipping. But that's
right.
Legit. That's a lot of money you can save right there.
That's nice. You could buy $200 worth of steak with the money that you save to cook on your Traeger grill.
There you go. That's a good plan. Mac, I am not shocked at all that you were an early adapter. An early adapter, is that the right word? An early adopter of the Traeger app. I don't know what the right word is. Took me back to my grad school days. There's some right term there, Mac. I don't know. But we are recording this Monday night, and we just saw a very interesting game on ESPN, Eric McLean.
Dare I say, the Duke Blue Devils are better without Jalen Johnson.
Mac, I know don't say it.
Yeah, hey, look,
don't
I know
say
there's
it.
Some people out there that would very much discourage you from saying that, but it's the truth. They're playing much better. And whether it's, the team wanting to rally and say, hey, just because we lose one guy doesn't mean this and that, but the proof is in the pudding. And I don't think there's anything wrong with saying that. They're just a different team without him. They're not handicapped by trying to get him the ball. They move very much fluid. Now, of course, they did shoot the ball lights out better than they ever have this season against Syracuse, which plays a zone. But I think it's very interesting, and I think it's very valid, Kelly Gramlich, to say that.
I agree, Mac. And here's the hard truth. There's a lot of haters out there. Well, there's a lot of Duke haters out there, and that's fine. You're not even really a hater if you're a Duke hater. You're just probably a human because there's a lot of Duke haters.
Hey now.
But there's a lot of Duke haters who were going to be excited to not see Duke in this year's NCAA tournament. I have some news for all y'all. Duke is making the NCAA tournament.
Come on.
Okay, I'm saying it right here and now. You can mark the tape, Eric McClain. They were in the first four, or the next four out, excuse me, before the Syracuse game with that win. They don't move into the field or anything, but I feel like with how they're playing and who they have left on their schedule, a big game against Louisville this weekend that we will discuss, I think Duke is going to make the tournament. And to me, the biggest difference without Jalen Johnson is, you know, he may have been a distraction in the locker room. I don't know. I don't really want to speculate on that. There are different reports, but we don't know that for sure. I think the biggest difference is that this goes from a question that Duke had of whose team is this to this is now Matthew Hurt's team and everyone else can fall in line and play their roles better. And that's what we've seen. Look, the emergence of Mark Williams, who, by the way, is Elizabeth Williams' brother. I didn't put that together.
How did none of us know that before the broadcast tonight? And why did no one else ever say that on a broadcast until
tonight?
How
did they not? It is like my job to know that. Right. I cover ACC women's hoops for ACC Network.
I'm truly dumbfounded, Kelly. I'm just disappointed.
I know, Mac. I know. That's on me. Elizabeth Williams, I played against her many years. She was an absolute monster at Duke and is still in the WNBA. And if Mark Williams probably won't have a career like Elizabeth Williams, but if he does, you know, if he does something like she did, he'll have a very good career. He had 18 points and 11 boards tonight. And I thought Jay Billis made a good point on the broadcast that Mark Williams, his role in the way he plays is really effective against his own because you can lob it up to him. He's a great rebounder off the backside when you have to box him out with a smaller guy. So he really excelled in that game. He didn't do much against Virginia, but it's tougher when you're playing Jay Huff and you have to come out and guard the five outside of the perimeter. And that's just not really his game. But Matthew Hurt, again, had another solid performance. And then the two young Duke guards, Stewart and Roach, are really coming into their own. They're taking better shots. They're taking really good care of the ball. That's been the difference maker. But to me, it's just the fact that without Jalen Johnson, whatever kind of distraction he was, and again, I don't know how much of a distraction he was, but I feel like this Duke team is more aware of their roles without him.
I completely agree with you. And when two things that I want to touch on before we move on was you talk about guard play and the fact that these kids, they're maturing. And I mean, they're young. They didn't get to go through a normal offseason. They didn't get to go through a normal even preseason, you know, when you play and you kind of have these games that you can win, that you can count on to learn who we are as a team. And then even right now, they can't just go to the gym anytime they want. We've heard all these different things from every player we've had on, every coach that we've had on. That's why it's different. So teams that are younger, that have younger stars, it takes them a little bit of time. And now we're seeing that with Duke. We're seeing it with North Carolina. These guys are growing up right before us and playing really, really well. You also, you know, kind of had a blistering hot take about Duke making the tournament. I agree with you. Number one, they're on a four-game winning streak and playing very well. They also have Louisville left at Georgia Tech and at UNC, which, guess what? Quad one potential win if they get both of those. So it's going to be something where they're going to have a really nice-looking resume if they finish on a seven-game win streak going into the ACC tournament. So all those people, like you said, that were so jacked up and excited, Duke's not making it. Don't look too fast because they're right there.
Sorry, guys. Yeah, right. And one more thing, too, Mac, you said it perfectly. I'll add they also got a signature win in beating Virginia. That was the signature win they needed for their resume. I know it was at home, but still, you beat UVA. That's something that only a few teams have been able to do in the league so far this year, Florida State, Virginia Tech, and you. So that was really big for Duke to get that signature win as well.
Yeah, and they have to be feeling good. Like I said, four-game win streak. You've got three really nice games stacked up to end the season. Look out. Here comes Duke. So let's do a little recap, Kelly. Let's talk about it because, again, a crazy week. We had blowouts. We had unexpected wins, especially on the women's side. Let's start there. Ranked teams, we have number two NC State. I still think they should be number one in the country. And number six, Louisville, who has had a tough time and just had a really kind of confusing. You kind of maybe not expected it, but you said, hey, pay attention to this game. They're at number six, Louisville, receiving votes, Virginia Tech and Georgia Tech. What happened this week on the women's side, Kelly?
Parity.
It's been the name of the season, right? I mean, the men's side has been weird, but the women's, it's like every other game. It's just something crazy.
We have a lot of very, very good teams. I don't think we have an elite team this year. And I think on the men's side, One would argue that Gonzaga is elite. Some would argue Baylor is elite. So it's kind of, you know, which do you prefer? Do you prefer some teams that are really, really good and everyone else is fine? Or do you prefer a lot of good, solid teams? And that's basically what we have on the women's side.
Can I just say, I prefer it just like it is this year. I think this is going to be the craziest tournament on the men's and the women's side. Maybe not ever, because people get upset when you say the best ever, but it's going to be the best in a long time. And I think you talk about those matchups where it's like a 5 versus a 10 or something like that. There are going to be some crazy upsets that we just were baffled about. And that's why March Madness is so great. I'm sorry I interrupted. Please continue.
No, Mac, you're fine, especially on neutral floors. I think we're going to see some craziness on neutral floors. But with Louisville, I'm a little worried about Louisville, Mac. I'm a little worried. And to your point about NC State, they would be number one if they had not lost to North Carolina. And I did that game. It was a weird one. But Louisville has become very one-dimensional. And their young players, Haley Van Lith, who I think is going to be a star, Olivia Cochran, who is going to be a star, Kiana Smith, who is a transfer who has had some very high moments and then some moments where she doesn't really show up. All of those players have been inconsistent. The only consistent force is Dana Evans. And she's been out there scoring 27, 28, 29 a game. She had one off game. She had an off night. She was 5-for-21 from the field at Florida State, and they lose. They just can't afford for her to be off. And it's tough because when I look at the top 6 teams, really, on the women's side, none of them are driven by one player like Louisville is with Dana. So that worries me a little bit. NC State is so balanced. That's the best part about what they do. Their balance is incredible. UConn, I would argue, okay, let me walk that back a second, because I do think UConn, you could argue, is driven by one player similar to Louisville in Paige Beckers. But, and I am not a UConn hater, but that conference they play in, it doesn't really compare to what you're seeing in the ACC or the SEC or the Pac-12 or anything like that. So we'll see what happens come tournament time. But UConn and Louisville are the two that are really driven by one player. And sometimes, you know, that player can carry you, which is what Dana has done for most of the season. To me, she's the ACC player of the year, no doubt. But there are times, especially during a long season, where if she struggles, you're going to have a problem. And that's what happened with Louisville.
Yeah, and I actually want to talk to you about that ACC player of the year, no doubt. We discussed a couple of weeks ago, if NC State can keep winning, and if it's mostly or a big part of it is because of Kunane, she might be able to sneak in there. Do you see that as a possibility, or even in the losses, even in the tough games, you're still seeing, you know, our girl drop buckets for Louisville? Do you think there's any opening at all that Kunane can jump in there and take the trophy, kind of?
Not at the moment. I love Kunane. Kunane is a star, and I think her team right now has the better chance to win a national title and the better chance to make a Final Four. But she's not the player of the year, because Dana has both things. She has the numbers, which blow you away, and she is the most valuable player on her team. Ja'Kia Brown-Turner is actually, I think she's at the point now where she's averaging 0.5 less points per game than Kunane. So Kunane is still their leading scorer, but again, their balance is what makes them so great. And Ja'Kia Brown-Turner had 2 20-point games this past week. She's been going off. So it's no knock on Kunane, really. It's just kind of how Louisville is set up. Dana has to do everything. Her numbers are off the charts. She is the most valuable player on one of the best, if not the best team in the league, depending on, you know, what you look at, what you think. So I think it is Dana.
I completely agree with you. I wanted to throw that out there and see if I could get you to nibble on it a little bit. But I agree with you. I think it's going to be Dana Evans. Like you mentioned kind of at the beginning of the show, this is the last week of the regular season on the women's side. It is crazy to think about that. I feel like we just switched to a full-time basketball podcast, and now we're already talking about ending it. Give me kind of your teams that are on the bubble, the teams that might be in, the teams that might be out for the ACC on the women's side, because, again, there's so many good teams, but some people are going to be left out.
So for me, NC State, Louisville, Syracuse, Georgia Tech, Florida State, those 5 are in for the NCAA tournament. And I would even put Virginia Tech in there. Virginia Tech is in at this point. So the real bubble teams, you've got 3. You've got North Carolina, Notre Dame, and Wake Forest. North Carolina is in the last 4 in. Wake and Notre Dame are in the last 4 out. So we have a lot of very important games that we're going to discuss in our Big 3 and our speed round. But those 3 need every win they can possibly get. And that's why, for many reasons, in my opinion, it's so important to play the ACC tournament, because you got to give. I think the ACC, and they will, the ACC is all in on playing the tournament. I think it's the right decision. But you got to give UNC, Wake, and Notre Dame as many chances as possible to earn their bid into the NCAA tournament.
So outside of winning the ACC championship, the tournament, is there anything that Wake Forest can do to be in? I mean, they finished with Miami and then Florida State. And you just said they're kind of your last four
win those
out.
Two.
I mean, do you think that's enough? I mean, if they win those two and then lose in the first or second round, is there still a shot they're in, or are they done?
So I think if they win those last two and they lose in the first round, they're probably in. It just depends, you know, what else happens. That's the thing, is everything is related. It's a domino effect all over the place on the national landscape. It also depends who they end up playing in the ACC tournament. If that ends up being, because 1 through 50 is a neutral site, is a quad one. So it just depends who they play. But I think realistically for Wake, they can beat Miami. If they lose to Florida State, they still have a chance, but they probably need to go win two games perhaps in the ACC tournament. And Wake made a nice run in the ACC tournament last year. So they do that from time to time. Wake has every chance. North Carolina has every chance. Notre Dame is a team I'm a little worried about because their schedule remaining is very, very difficult. But we'll get to that in the
That's right. Hey, listen, I'm the biggest Wake Forest fan right now. We haven't done it since 88. Let's make the tournament.
Let's do Come it, on. Wake.
All right, let's look at the men's side, Kelly, because I mentioned it, there was some craziness on the women's side. These games on the men's side were nuts. Duke upsetting Virginia. Georgia Tech just beating the heck out of Miami.
Oh,
and Miami
gosh.
Was missing a ton of people. I get it. But, I mean, that game
–
it was bad. I mean, it seemed like every other point that Georgia Tech scored was a dunk all over Miami. Syracuse looked okay against Notre Dame. NC State just beat the brakes off of Wake Forest. And then Louisville, oh, bless your heart. You did not know what was coming. North Carolina, they're getting better. They almost score 100 points. They end up beating Louisville by like 10,000. So when you look at this, FSU's 11, Virginia's 15, and 16 Virginia Tech. This is the question I want to pose to you before you dive into the week. If North Carolina or Duke were the number one team in the ACC, is there any shot that they are only 11 in the country? Come on. We are severely undervaluing Florida State, I believe.
That is a good question, Matt.
Like, there's no shot, you right? Know, like, if they're number one in the
no
ACC,
shot.
They're top 10.
There's no shot. I agree. And, you know, Virginia just was 7, and then they lost twice. I do think FSU's numerous COVID pauses have hurt them. That's been the main issue with Florida State, is that they're out of sight, out of mind for 2 weeks. So that's been the problem with FSU. And they don't really have that many bad losses. The UCF loss was very puzzling, but that's way back in the past. They lost at Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech is very tough to beat at home. Georgia Tech is the scrappiest team in the world. Like, seriously, they are tough out. So I agree with you, Mac. I think Florida State is a top 10 team. And if you look at people around the country who are educated and know what they're talking about, they all have Florida State as a legit Final Four contender. Most people are going with FSU in their Final Four. I think a lot of people will when the brackets actually come out, depending on the draw. I love FSU basketball. I love how they play. I love what they represent. They are college basketball, how it should be, a developmental program that has guys that come in, wait their turn 2 to 3 years, and then play. And they're super deep. They play everyone. I love what FSU stands for. I love how they play. And they probably should be a top 10 team. I'm with you, Mac.
I completely agree with you. And one thing that was super interesting to me was, you know, kind of learning that MJ Walker, I didn't know his backstory. The fact that he was a 5-star, kind of had to wait his turn, and now
McDonald's All-American.
Yeah, and now he's a senior. Like, he's not one of those guys that just left. So I completely agree with you in the fact that they do it the right way. It's a fun style of play. You love to watch them, and just look out, because these new bloods, I know that they are feeling the disrespect at 11. All right, Kelly, jump into this week. I know we kind of just covered a bunch right there, but give me some highlights of what we saw on the men's side this past week.
Well, Virginia losing both games, I think that was the biggest story. And actually, a little teaser. I don't know if we said this yet, Mac, did we? Jay Huff from the Virginia Cavaliers
breaking
will join
news.
Us.
Come on.
On Thursday. Yes, super excited. So we'll see. They play NC State on Wednesday. We'll hope that he's joining us coming off of a win for his sake. We're not against you, NC State fans, we promise. So Virginia losing twice, I think, was the big story. Both games on the road. Virginia has struggled on the road. Basically, every team has struggled away from home this year. Louisville, oh my God. I thought coming off a COVID pause, you know, we've seen a lot of teams struggle off of COVID pauses, but that was just embarrassing. And I felt for them. I'm not sure if we know the whole story of how little they were able to practice, who had it, all that stuff. There's so many unknowns with these COVID pauses. And then the biggest thing to look forward to this week that I'm excited about is that Virginia Tech and Clemson are both back. They've been on COVID pauses. They've been out for a long time. Virginia Tech's been off since February 6th and Clemson since February 12th. Those are Virginia Tech's ranked, Clemson's receiving votes. It's good for the league and good for those teams that they can get back because, like we said, it's just 2 weeks until the ACC tournament. This is not the time you want to be on pause at all. So I'm glad to see both those programs back practicing and playing.
Yeah, and it was fun to see, you know, Virginia Tech kind of put out the Michael Jordan tweet.
I'm back.
We're back. So excited to see that. Kelly, before we jump into our Big Three breakdown brought to you by our great friends over at Sunshine, tell me a little bit about Sunshine Beverages.
Mac, it is the start of a new week and you're busy. I know you are, Mac. You're grilling something every second. You're on the go and you want an easy, delicious boost, but you don't want to overload on caffeine. So you want Sunshine. And let me tell you guys, Sunshine just came out with their sparkling energy waters. Y'all, these will change your life. They have changed mine. Zero sugar, zero calories, great flavors like citrus lime, lotus pear, and pomegranate acai. So forget the boost and crash cycle. You want that feel-good energy. Get Sunshine today at your local Publix, QT, or even better, go online at drinkthesunshine.com and use our code ACC10 at checkout to save 10% on your order. And make sure you vote in our Sunshine poll question of the week. Mac will tweet that out every week. And if you respond, you are entered to win a sampler six-pack of Sunshine.
Guys, it's super easy. All you literally have to do is press a button on your phone and you're automatically there. It's also fun to kind of hear your reasoning and really, if you don't like any of our answers, tell us why we're crazy and what the right answer is. So,
and people do that.
They do.
And it's fun. We enjoy it.
That's just fine. And like you said, we all need some sunshine in our life. I mean, it's been doom and gloom, just horrible weather. Can I get a little pick-me-up when I bust that can open? Yes. I'm like, let's go. I'm ready.
I need sunshine even more when it's pouring rain. I don't know if that's science
it's
or what.
It's absolutely science.
It when it's pouring rain.
You know, you're going to do a breakdown next episode of why it is scientific. All right, let's get to the Big Three breakdown.
No. A book report on science?
Yeah, good luck. Good luck preparing for that. So let's get to the Big Three breakdown brought to you by our great friends over at Sunshine Beverages. Number 11, FSU at North Carolina. I am so jacked up about this game. It's Saturday, 4 p.m. on ESPN. Kelly, what do we need to pay attention to?
This game is going to be a blast. That's why I put it number one. I know Duke Louisville is the primetime game at 6 o'clock, but that's just because it's Duke and Duke draws ratings, and that's not a slight. That's just facts. So Florida State, North Carolina at 4 p.m. on ESPN. North Carolina has been very good at home. Stop me when you've heard that before. Basically, every team has been good at home except Miami and
Which
Boston
is
College.
Weird in this non home advantage world that we're living
it's
in.
It's weird, but it does make sense a little bit because I feel like the only sense of normalcy that these student athletes really have is a game in their own gym, you know, where you don't have to travel and all this other stuff. I think the travel, the protocols, the added stress of traveling where when you're on the bus, oh my gosh, am I sitting too close to this right. guy or whatever? There's a lot of added stress there. And then you're playing in these away gyms with no fans. It's just, I think there are some elements there, but it still doesn't make a lot of sense. I'm with you on that, Mac. And for me, the key with this Florida State, North Carolina game, really any game that has to do with UNC is rebounding. It will be very important in this one. The two best rebounding teams in the league are North Carolina and FSU. North Carolina is plus 11 in their rebounding margin on the season. That is just absolutely ridiculous. And what I like and what I've seen from UNC this last week, they played Northeastern, which I thought was a good call by Roy to get his team out there and just play a game at home. And then they beat Louisville coming off the pause. But their young guards played well, especially someone like Kerwin Walton, who's more of a three player. But He shot the ball lights out, and he's going to be very important for North Carolina in this matchup. Florida State shoots nearly 40% from three, North Carolina just 32%. I think Kerwin Walton has to hit a few threes for North Carolina to feel very good about this one. And then the key is that matchup inside, right, with Koprivica and with Brooks and Baycott and De'Ron Sharp and all these dudes inside, Raekwon Gray, these guys that are going to battle inside for Florida State. Can FSU get one of these North Carolina bigs in foul trouble or vice versa? Can the, you know, can one team be more physical with the other and set the tone? I think that's where the game is going to be won. But the X factor for me in this one is Kerwin Walton for North Carolina.
I love it, Kelly. I think Florida State more than enough has the firepower to be able to bang with North Carolina. I think they're going to play to their strength and make North Carolina run, which they love to do it. I mean, that's what North Carolina does. We're going to see that platoon swap from FSU.
But if UNC is running and settling for threes in transition, that's not
that's
good
right.
news
that's where
for North Carolina. That's not what they want to do.
That's when a problem arises very quickly. Are you picking against Florida State in this one, or are you riding it out with the Seminoles?
Oh, man. UNC has been so good at home. FSU's home road splits are troublesome. They're a little suspect. I got to be honest there. Mac, I think North Carolina's going to win this game. I'm picking UNC.
Oh, I'm clipping this off. Rich, clip it off. Send it to me. I've got to post it everywhere.
I hate myself for it. But Florida State could prove to everyone that they can win on the road. But there's something about UNC in the Dean Dome. They play a lot better. Florida State, I can't get over that loss at Georgia Tech where they just looked disjointed in the second half. It's like no one knew what to do. So Florida State needs to prove
and maybe,
that to me.
You know, maybe this isn't fair to say, but I think this game will be a fantastic indication for us how far Florida State can go in this tournament. I think if they
yes,
can get this big win at somebody else's house, not a neutral site, you know, go and do it on the road, I think people will be feeling really, really good about Florida State. I think they get the job done. All right, let's move on to the other team in the state of North Carolina, Louisville at Duke, Saturday night, 6 p.m. ESPN. Is Louisville going to be able to respond to the 50-point beatdown they just got, or are we going to see more of the same? Because Duke is playing very well.
Duke has all the momentum in the world. This is where a COVID pause, you just feel so bad for the COVID pause team. Now, Louisville does get to play Notre Dame Tuesday, so they have another game to get back into it. That's a home game. Again, stop me if you've heard this. Louisville's so much better at home this year. They beat Duke at home back in January, and Carlique Jones was excellent in that game. He is going to have a Herculean performance for Louisville in Cameron Indoor with the way Duke is shooting the ball, absolutely lights out from three. Of course, Louisville's not going to play a zone, but they will play that pack line. They have to know where shooters are. They can't let Duke get out in transition. But Louisville has to have a really good floor game and get good play from two of its three guards, whether it's Johnson and Jones, whether it's Jones and Samuel Williamson. Two of those three have to play well. And then I'm intrigued to see against Notre Dame how Malik Williams looks for Louisville. He played 17 minutes against North Carolina. Now, it didn't help much, but they have missed him. So can he play more against Notre Dame, and can he be more of a factor against Duke on Saturday? That's my biggest question there for Louisville. Louisville is the second worst three-point shooting team in the league. Duke has been absolutely lights out. So I'm taking Duke in this one.
Yeah, I am too. I think Duke is just, you know, in fuego right now. They're hot. They're playing really, really well. I think we continue to see it. Let's jump over to the women's side. I don't know if I'm going to say struggling, but a struggling number six Louisville at Notre Dame, Sunday, 3 p.m., ACC Network. Are we going to see the Cards bounce back? I mean, what do you expect to see from them and Dana Evans in this one?
So, like I said, Louisville needs some bounce back. They have struggled, and I told you kind of the issues with Louisville earlier in the pod. It's been all Dana and no one else. Some other players have to step up for Louisville. They played Notre Dame back on February 7th, and this game was uncomfortably close. Dana had to go for a bunch of points. She hit a big three at the end to seal it. But Notre Dame got that confidence of, we can play with Louisville, and we almost beat them. Now, this game is in South Bend. This would be huge for Notre Dame. They're on the bubble. They need a signature win. They don't have a signature win yet. North Carolina, the other bubble team, one of the others, has a signature win over NC State. Wake Forest does not have a signature win, but they almost beat Louisville, took them to the brink, and I think that helps their resume. They also won at Georgia Tech, which is a very good win. I'm not sure if it's signature, but it's good. So this would be huge for Notre Dame and their NCAA tournament resume. Notre Dame's been on a COVID pause. They have three games this week. Will they be exhausted by the time they play Louisville? Probably, but they got to push through it. I'm going to take Louisville on the road. And if Coach McGraw's listening, she's going to text me some words of
that's right.
disappointment. But I think Louisville still wins it, but I think it's going to be a very good game and it's going to be worth watching.
I like that. Louisville fans probably don't like that, but there you go. Kelly tells it straight. She does not try to mingle in the line. She's going to let you know you guys better come to play.
I don't play, Mac. I don't play.
That's right. That's right. She doesn't play. Guys, make sure you go vote in the Sunshine Poll question of the week on Twitter. I'll probably post it later today. If not, you'll see it all throughout the week. I'll keep retweeting that thing and getting it out to you. Let's move on, Kelly, to the speed round. I just need a couple of notes really quickly on each of these matchups and maybe a key to the game. Starting on the men's side, let's go Georgia Tech at number 16, Virginia Tech. That's Tuesday, 7 p.m. on RSN.
Virginia Tech is back. That is great news, except they're playing a red hot Georgia Tech team. This game is in Castle Coliseum. That's good news because Georgia Tech is very tough in Atlanta. Keve Aluma and Moses Wright inside, that's going to be a heck of a battle. But for me, it's which shooters around them can shoot the ball better. Virginia Tech should be rested. But again, I don't know who had COVID. I don't know who was able to practice. I don't know how they're going to shoot it. Whereas on the other side for Georgia Tech, Michael DeVoe is coming off a game where he hit 7 threes. I'm not going to pick against Virginia Tech at home, though. I'm taking the Hokies.
Wow. You just totally flipped it on me.
All the faith
right.
in Mike Young,
that's right.
Mac. All
that's
the
right.
faith
Who
in Mike
Who was
Young.
Our coach of the year right now on our Twitter poll. So everybody's kind of leaning that
that's
way,
right.
and I kind of agree with you. All right, let's go to the Tigers, who are going to be traveling, the Clemson Tigers to Wake Forest. That'll be Wednesday, 4:30, ACC Network. Walk me through this one.
Well, Clemson is finally back.
Is that a good like thing or play. A bad thing? We haven't seen them play great after a pause.
No, we have not. That's for sure. Now, Coach Bonnell has said that he has learned from the first pause, and there are some things that he would do differently. And from what I have heard, just from some different sources and all that, the outbreak has not really affected the players. It's been more of a staff situation. So maybe that's good for Clemson in terms of conditioning and things like that. Wake Forest, to me, has kind of hit a wall. They have so many young players. They look really fatigued. You mentioned that blowout against NC State. So I think Clemson wins this game. It's a very important game for the Tigers down the stretch. They are still in the running for a top four seed, which would be a double bye in the ACC tournament, and they cannot afford to lose this game, but I'm taking the Tigers.
Isn't that nice to have two games off in an ACC tournament? I think it's fantastic. Let's go to the women's side. Georgia Tech at North Carolina, Thursday, 6 p.m., ACC Network Extra. What are you seeing in this one, Kelly?
Well, back to the bubble teams. North Carolina needs this win. Georgia Tech is squarely in the tournament. No worries about that. But they did lose at Boston College on Sunday. It was very puzzling. They had a long week. They had a game where they went and destroyed Florida State on Thursday and then lost at Boston College. Doesn't make a lot of sense. But Georgia Tech has to find a way to slow down Stephanie Watts for North Carolina. And then the matchup inside, Kubai and Janelle Bailey inside, is going to be excellent. I'm going to take the Tar Heels in this game. I don't feel super confident, but North Carolina shoots the ball great at home. The last time they were at home, they were lights out. So I'm taking the Heels.
Let's see if they can do it. Now, this best for last here, this is probably my favorite game in the speed round, just to see, is Wake Forest going to try to make some noise or if Florida State is going to continue to be consistent? So Wake Forest traveling to Florida State, Sunday noon, RSN. What are we thinking here for the last game of the speed round?
Another bubblicious game with our dear friends over in Winston-Salem and Wake Forest. This would be huge. This would be another really good, again, not signature win because you're not beating Louisville or NC State, but a very good win for your resume. If Wake can beat Miami and then win this game, they're going to feel great going into the ACC tournament. We gave Brooke Wyckoff some props on our pod last week, being an interim head coach during COVID, having to replace your three leading scorers, and they're coming off a win over Louisville, so you know they're feeling good. And this game is at home. Florida State's only lost one game at home. Florida State has a big three that can really score. To me, Wake has a big two. Can the third player step up, whether it's Jules Spear or whomever? That's my biggest key for Wake. I think Wake beats Miami this week, but I think they lose at Florida State. So they're still in the running, Mac. I'm not trying to count your Deeks out. I know you have become a huge Wake women's basketball fan, as you should be.
You know, it hurts my feelings that you're picking on me and the Wake Forest Demon Deacons right now when we are trying to make the tournament, Kelly. Come on.
I'll tell Coach Hoover that Eric McClain is a Deek. She'll really
That's
appreciate
right.
that. And we should mention here, Mac, too, that Richmond Weaver produces our podcast. We very much appreciate his producing skills. They are magical. And check out his podcast, Rich Take on Sports, wherever you get your pods, Apple Podcasts, wherever it is. Just search Rich Take on Sports. He has a great pod with excellent interviews with a bunch of very cool guests.
Well, that's it, guys, for this episode of the Gramlich and McLane podcast, brought to you by our great friends over at Traeger Grills. Thank you all for listening, as always. And if you haven't already, go to iTunes, subscribe to our podcast, drop us a little 5-star rating, or write us a review. It's so fun to read just some of the things that you guys say on there. We really appreciate it. But until next time, we'll see y'all.